All kinds of things going on.
Oprah, The Bachelor, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Lord. Right, yeah, Casey, the big, he says to me, goes, you know, there might be some snow. And I said, what? Are people surprised that there could be snow? I mean, we have been so fooled by this crazy winter weather.
I know.
I was annoyed for a half second because I went, why is it so cold? And I go, it's not, Brittany. It's March.
Yeah.
It's actually not that cold.
Yeah. So. And today, is today the first day of spring or is that tomorrow? The spring equinox is either March 20th or 21st.
I thought it was the 21st.
21st. And so, yeah, he's like, yeah, it's maybe a really big storm. And I'm like, Casey, there's been like one and a half big storms here.
It's because of a leap year. Yes. It's today.
It's today.
Is it today?
Yeah.
The leap year through. Okay, thank you. I'm glad I wasn't too off there.
No. Yeah, and anyone know what that means?
Today's are going to start getting long.
No, what if you were a true nerd and you know what the
planting,
you know what the equinox, what it means on the calendar, on it's something about
the Earth's rotation.
No, it's something about the sun on this day shines equally in the east and west. Does that sound right? Or am I paraphrasing?
Yep. During the equinox, the Earth's axis is in its orbit line up. So both hemispheres get an equal amount of sunlight.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
There you go. You got there.
I mean, that is just one of these stupid things that I remember and probably learned on this very radio show.
That are like in elementary school and it just stuck with you for so long.
Yeah, I don't remember equinox ever coming up in elementary school. I remember the equator, learning about the equator.
Yeah, yeah, which I thought was like a real line for a long
time. You're like, oh, I wonder, you know.
I can't wait to see the equator.
It's like when you drive up to the boundary waters, you're going up to Ely and you cross the continental divide.
Yeah.
And then if you're ever with people who don't know it or kids or something, and you're going, what does that mean, everybody? What does it mean when you cross the continental divide here? And they go, what? The rivers flow north.
Yeah.
After you cross
that
the divide.
That is quite a place to go to see.
But that's like, and people just go, you go, what? I go, yeah, don't think about it too long.
Just go.
You know, but it does, that is the thing.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean,
when
in
Gogo
theory.
Is of the age that you can impress her with geological facts, that will be
I can't,
when you tell her.
I can't wait. And I can't wait to like tell her at an age where she'll roll her eyes and go, I really don't care. Like, can we please go to soccer? You're so annoying.
Will you, though?
Oh, gosh. Oh. All right. Well, Grant, I know you stayed up till all hours watching the new documentary, All Quiet on the Set, about the Nickelodeon.
Yeah, my gosh, they started it out. We'll talk more about it in the dirt, but it started out with them basically saying, if you were a child of the 90s or the 2000s,
you watched all these Nickelodeon shows.
You watched these shows,
your world's going to be rocked?
Exactly. And it was, and I woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning, not being able to sleep. And I was TikToking, of course, and I saw a clip and I'm like, oh yeah, I got to watch this. Started at about 2:30, 4 hours later, I'm still up and I finished the whole thing and wow. I just blown away.
Wow. I watched two episodes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the same. It's so funny how those little clips get you, because I accidentally started watching random ones on TikTok. And my TikTok algorithm was like, oh, if you like that, here's another one.
Yep.
And I finally stopped myself because like once in a while, I'll like watch enough clips where I don't even want to see the show. And I go, why don't I just get off TikTok right now and watch it? So I sat down, watched the first two episodes, and Grant's right. It was brutal.
It was.
It was.
But brutal, but the truth and the honest, and not honest, but the truth that needed to be told.
It's how did it stay quiet for so long?
Oh, I mean, I've got goosebumps just thinking about that very part of it, how the trust that people had and the
vulnerability.
Yeah. There you go. That just...
They really do a great job of laying the scene, because like as somebody who's, you know, got this little kiddo, I just think I would never leave her alone. But they really set up, first off, it's Hollywood, so it's a different vibe. Like they really want their kids to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But they really set up an environment where if you're a parent who makes a big deal of something or is difficult or adds any hiccup in the schedule at all. So let's say they're supposed to go wait with somebody else for their scenes. And you're like, no, I want them to wait with me. Then you're a problem.
Yep.
And these kids are all just no names that they grabbed. And so if you're a problem, your kid's not going to be on next season. And they really set that atmosphere of you need to be a parent who just says yes, 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 and kind of ignore labor laws and go with it. And it was the idea that your kid won't have a job. And one of these little kids, he was the only, his parents, they lived, he kept calling it like the hood. They lived in the hood. And he was like, I knew I was my family's ticket out of the hood. So we just went with it.
Yeah. And, you know, Austin Butler on the Elvis press tour, you know, because he was in iCarly. He was in Zoe 101, like one season of that. He was in, you know, he was a Nickelodeon kid. He would show up in different things. But I never read anything more into it, but he talked very much. I thought it was maybe because he was like talking about that both he and Elvis lost their moms when they were like 22 years old. And that was a bonding thing. But he always talked about his mom, about how she took him to everything, all of his auditions. She was always with him on the set.
Yeah.
And he was just always talking about how his mom protected him. Yeah. And now I wonder if like it was his way of talking around because it was us being kept a secret or people were like, you were afraid of getting sued. But he talked so much about what his mom meant to him as a child actor on sets of shows and trying out for things, and how grateful he was to the protection she gave him.
And to that very opposite point, like Brittany was just talking about that young gentleman, he was in this situation where he wanted to get his family, like he said, out of the hood, but then he was worried that his mom was, because she was trying to protect him, just like Austin Butler's mom was doing, was getting in the way. So it actually created this divide between him and his mom when she was just trying to protect him.
Right.
And so to that same note, there were a lot of stars.
But Austin, you know, like he lived in an upper middle class.
Yeah,
you know,
they weren't relying on
him. He wasn't the meal ticket. He was just doing it because his mom was just like, I'm going to be. So that I think is more unusual too.
Yeah, that's a big game changer. It was so bad to the point where one mom, and you, I actually am very thankful she spoke up. She talked about that one of the PAs sent her daughter a terrible photo. She saw it on the email. She didn't report it because she just thought, well, this might cause a problem. And that's how you go, you know, I get it. Like, we can sit and blame or this or that with a parent. But at the end of the day, it was an environment that you had to go with the flow in some ways. Yeah, otherwise, like, you would be a problem. And, like, it's just breeds. It's a breeding ground for predators to, you know, have prey for sure.
All right. Well, I'm not a Nickelodeon kid, but I'm familiar with all those Nickelodeon kids.
You would know because Amanda Bynes is a big one on there.
And we always wondered what happened with her that, you know, everything that went on with her and everything. So,
so just so people know, because we had a couple people call, it's Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV.
Thank you.
It's going to, you can, right now, you can go back and watch them all on Max, the streamer. But if you go to, if you have like Xfinity or DirecTV, it's all on demand through the ID channel. So there's two ways that you can watch it
for free.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Grant.
All right. Very good. All right. Listen, our story we can't get enough of. Oprah had her special last night on blame, shame, and the weight loss
game
or something that. That's so. We'll be back.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through three divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step one is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Anne and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free one-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Brittany, thanks for filling in today for Julia.
Of course.
Okay, so Oprah's weight special was really just getting to the bottom of what is going on with the weight loss drugs, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy, and just what is the real deal on this. And of course, we trust Oprah.
1,000%.
1,000%. So we're just going to, we've got a lot to get to. So I don't think we need to like talk too much because she really, it was such a good special.
Yeah.
It really, really was. It answered so many questions. And she just, of course, probably has been working on producing this thing for 6 months.
I believe it, because there was a lot of in-depth stuff.
So let's play the first one where Oprah talks about Ozempic.
In my lifetime, I never dreamed that we would be talking about medicines that are providing hope for people like me who have struggled for years with being overweight or with obesity. So I come to this conversation in the hope that we can start releasing the stigma and the shame and the judgment to stop shaming other people for being overweight or how they choose to lose or not lose weight. And more importantly, to stop shaming ourselves.
Which, you know, she did, you know, go on about. And there's a kind of an aha moment. I think it might be a couple more clips in where an aha moment. It was just like how she reframes the conversation.
Yeah.
Because so much of what people think about people who, like, it's in your head. Just be determined to do this. You know, there's a lot of this, like,
yeah, be
power,
stronger.
Be
yeah.
stronger, exercise more, eat less.
Just do the right thing.
Yeah,
right
and
stuff.
I mean, can you imagine, like, how exhausting that is to hear when there's all these other things going around? We don't ever yell at people with high blood pressure.
Yeah.
To start meditating or being mindful or taking yoga. No, they take a high blood pressure medication. So here's the next one from Oprah.
I have to say that I took on the shame that the world gave to me. For 25 years, making fun of my weight was national sport. And I'll never forget a day in 1990. I saw myself on the cover of TV Guide's Best and Worst Dress List. And I remember thinking at first, oh, look, there I am on the cover. And then I read the headline that Mr. Blackwell, the tastemaker of the time, called me bumpy, lumpy, and downright dumpy. Ugh. I was ridiculed on every late night talk show for 25 years and tabloid covers for 25 years. Here are just a few of the thousands of headlines written about me. Oprah, fatter than ever. Oprah hits 246 pounds. Final showdown with Stedman sends her into feeding frenzy. Oprah warned, diet or die. So in an effort to combat all the shame, I starved myself for nearly 5 months and then wheeled out that wagon of fat that the internet will never let me forget. And after losing 67 pounds on a liquid diet, the next day, y'all, the very next day, I started to gain it back.
So, you know, and I think that's too the credibility of Oprah is that we have witnessed that.
Yeah.
And it is amazing when you look back on how media, you know, like just the behavior like of that people felt so free to comment on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that was a very strong way of sharing that. So here's the next clip about what she thought it was about having willpower over food.
This is what I got for the first time after I, took the medication. All these years, I thought all of the people who never had to diet were just using their willpower, and they were, for some reason, stronger than me. And now I realize y'all wasn't even thinking about the food. It's not that you had the willpower. You weren't thinking about, you weren't obsessing about it. That is the big thing I learned.
And that is the thing that has been so remarkable about this weight loss medication Julia and I were talking about. Because sometimes she will just flat out accuse me of not caring about food or not liking food or something like that.
Yeah.
But really, it's just because I don't think about, like Oprah said, at breakfast, I'd already be thinking, what am I having for lunch? I'm always thinking about food. And she had this woman on who, until she took Ozempic, like she just was obsessed. You know, she suffered from obesity.
Yeah.
And she just said, I was always, always consumed with food. Thoughts of food, yep. Thinking about food.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you don't have that, you don't understand it. And so when she said it like that, and I thought, that's where Julia gets, where she'll say to me, oh, you just don't care about food. It's just that I am not thinking about food in the way that she has thought about food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or lots of people think about food.
Absolutely.
And I thought about my stepfather. He thought about food all the time. All the time. And he just loved thinking about it. And he loved planning for it. And he was... He was heavy. He would be, his doctor would have loved the option of him because he had so many health complications.
Yeah.
As a result. So, so the Ozempic, whatever is in this, whatever name brand you want to call it, it is keeping your brain from having the thinking thoughts about food.
Yeah.
And which is why they found it might have application for other things that your brain you get addicted to thinking about, and it becomes a thing. So let's play the next cut we got.
I'm not constantly thinking about what the next meal is going to be. I use it as a tool. Also, combined with hiking 3 to 5 miles a day or running, because I have found that in order to balance everything, so it's not just one thing, it's multiple things for me. It's also weight resistance training and all the things that go along with eating a healthy diet.
Yeah, a multi-prong approach is the way it has to be. And I think a lot of times people think I can just pick up this medication, take it without any other counseling. And the key is that you're working with a healthcare team that's multidisciplinary. They're coming at it from all different angles. The same way we would treat cancer. You wouldn't just go in and grab some chemo.
And do you have to be on it for the rest of your life?
Yeah, the data would support that. I mean, we have good trials showing that when these patients stop the medication, the disease comes back.
So, and Dr. Jen Ashton said, they've had access to this for a long time. This is not like just something that is just coming on the market. This has been looked at, studied, tested, and she just said it's revolutionary because it is like she made the cancer analogy or high blood pressure. There's many things that you take as a medication to stop something. So it's a matter of, is the side effect of this going to outweigh or not, or not carrying all this weight, what is going to be the benefit to not doing anything? So,
and that's part of too, I know what they're trying to work on right now, because it's so expensive for the cosmetic, they call it, side of it. But when all actuality, like you said, you take a blood pressure medication, it helps your blood pressure. That's covered by your health care.
Yeah.
This essentially, it makes people overall healthier in general. So why is this not being covered?
Well, it is. Again, you have to go through your doctor. There are people, you know, they have, you know, what is specifically clinically obese. So it's all these different things. And you should be talking to your trusted doctor anyway.
Yes.
That would be the thing. Let's just play the last Oprah clip about her kind of final thoughts on this.
And I hope that this has been an eye-opening conversation for everybody. I hope it has. For people who feel happy and healthy and celebrating life in a bigger body and don't want the medications, I say bless you. And for all the people who believe diet and exercise is the best and only way to lose excess weight, bless you too, if that works for you. And for the people who think that this could be the relief and support and freedom, as you said earlier, that you've been looking for your whole life, bless you, because there is space for all points of view.
This special could have been 2 hours, you guys.
Wow.
It was really good.
That's powerful.
Try and watch it. It's on ABC. I guess beyond be demand.
If it's on ABC, it'll probably be on Hulu.
Hulu.
The next,
there you go.
Yeah, so you go because they'll.
It was really good. Oprah could have done 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm wow. sure. Based on the audio that I heard, it was
really good.
Really powerful.
Hey, everybody. It's Lori here for Borton Overseas, and we're going to Iceland in October. And, you know, we're talking about traveling with Borton Overseas and going with a small group. And one of the things that is really fun, and maybe you've never done a group travel before, but it is absolutely stress-free, and you can count on Borton as a tour operator to put together an incredible itinerary that we would not be able to replicate, like, on our own, doing the food tour, having the escorted guides, having to be a small group, staying in a small, lovely hotel, the Reykjavik Saga Hotel, right downtown Reykjavik. We're going to have free time for going out and shopping, but we're also going to see the Blue Lagoon and Northern Lights and just see the natural beauty of Iceland. Go to MyTalk, keyword Iceland, to get started on your book. A perfect song because if you're a Bachelor fan, it was the Women Tell All and a second to the last rose ceremony that was sandwiched at the end of the episode.
People said they were mad about there was this big backlash because of Oprah's show made the Bachelor start late.
This is why sometimes you can't rely on Twitter headlines for everything, because it was like 60 seconds.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh. It cut
That's
into nothing.
That's actually hilarious.
It cut into absolutely nothing. Oh. So anyway, there, you know, good and bad side for like all social media.
No,
things.
I love that because I was like, wow, I'm surprised they did that. And like, I'll have to look into that later.
Yeah,
and
no.
I watch everything later anyways.
Yeah.
So it was so funny where I was like, I'm surprised, whatever. And then you go, of course. Yeah. I love that you just Hollywood spoke that.
Yeah, I mean, that... That is why I've always said, okay, yes, the cell phone and, of course, the internet changed everything. But, like, for me, personally, as a girl from the 80s who never did, I would have to call a boyfriend or, you know, a girlfriend, I have to call a boyfriend. I didn't know how to program a VCR. So the DVR of my life has been my favorite modern invention for me, because I love just being able to record and watch it when, you know, when you want to, because that was like, people don't like realize, but I mean, it was, you just had to miss a show.
Yeah, remember when TiVo, like there was the
TiVo, the first thing. I love TiVo.
And I love TiVo, but it felt like it was a little confusing.
It wasn't as easy to use as how they made it, DVR.
Yeah, but it went from, you know, the programming, the VCR, then TiVo came along and it was like, oh.
And that's how I felt about it. Oh, and I, for the longest time, called DVR TiVo.
You did.
Because TiVo was first.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's so funny, too. I mean, we can talk about it later, but that was another thing they talked about on that All Quiet on the Set, is that it was Disney or Nickelodeon. There were no other options. There
That's
was no
right.
recording of it.
They had so many shows.
Yeah, and they had a monopoly on, yeah.
It was a factory of totally. Nickelodeon and Disney kids.
Yeah. Okay, but we got to talk about The Bachelor.
Let's talk about The Bachelor. So, you know, Joey, it was Women Tell All episode, and it was really a very, very good episode. I mean, it started with Joey, you know, gazing himself in a mirror with no shirt on. So right away, the Bachelor producers
on point. They know what we want.
And we're in the T-Light Thunderdome. And, you know, the four breakaway stars of the Golden Bachelor. So Susan and Kathy are sitting together, and they are the Kris Jenner and Caitlyn.
Yep.
Is who we pegged them as at the yes. very first episode. And then sitting on another corner of the room was Leslie, Fima, and Sandra.
We're going to always.
Who were both. They were all for wow. all those late. Well, Kathy didn't really give advice on this season of The Golden Bachelor, but yeah, they right. had those ladies yep. in the audience yep. panned to them a few times. And I'm not going to tell you because, like, at we have like 15 minutes of the women tell all, and then we all of a sudden switch to Tulum.
Yeah.
Kelsey's note, rose ceremony. There's something that happens in the edit during the rose ceremony that just, it's for whatever reason, they reversed the order of who he actually gave roses to first.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a...
You could tell?
You could tell.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, a rose that... Anyway, so kind of funny stuff like that. So, but the most... Joey was a very classy bachelor yeah. for the most part, and I've never seen so many women thank a bachelor for breaking their heart.
Yeah, that was the one thing I would have to say is wild. Like, as much as I do love, I don't like overproduce things, but sometimes he's almost too good of a bachelor. I love him. I love him as a person. But there was no, like, I didn't have any, like, I want to get you moments. Like,
well, got him with the Kelsey, the note, we've got to talk. That was yeah. so orchestrated.
I know.
And we see how that plays out after yeah. the women tells all. But Rachel, mm-hmm. you know, the girl from Hawaii, the one who's a nurse, she was one of the fantasies. She's one of the three. I won't tell you
yeah.
what the spoiler is. But, I mean, I got teary-eyed, old heart me, got teary-eyed talking about the vicious social media comments she got because Joey gave her a rose, took her to the fantasy suite. You know, they really had a great connection. And yeah. even he said he left more with her than anybody.
Yeah.
And she just said, It's been a nightmare.
Ugh.
What people have said to me, and got very teary-eyed, and he got teary-eyed, and he was just like, no. And Jesse Palmer looked at the nation and he said, Bachelor Nation, I hate to think this is any of you guys, but there's no, I mean, it's the first time I've ever really hey. Seen them address it. And then Jesse asked the bachelorettes who were in the audience. Maria was fan favorite by the plaza meter.
Yeah.
She's fan favorite.
I love her.
So she got the most applause, but who here has been, you know, felt a relentless kind of, you're ugly, you're this, you know, just bullying, and all of them raised their hands, including our Golden Bachelorettes.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you can't go from having 7,000 followers or 700 followers to all of a sudden you have 15,000 or maybe you have 50,000 and... I mean, it's just, so she was just crying at how bad it was and her family got in on it. And that was very moving. And I give applause yeah. finally to The Bachelor for talking about this is something that people do get as part of the sign up.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think
turn off all comments. If you're newly famous in social media, turn off your comments. Don't read your stuff. Be true to your heart and in your mind. And if you're worried about something, ask somebody you trust about what their take is on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we
strangers. It's like I used to tell this to Julia
yeah.
when she would get mad, upset maybe that someone didn't like her thing or when she was dating. I go, what do you care what people you've never even met think
and
about
and never
you?
Will meet and wouldn't and never, have the bravery to say it to your face
and
anyways.
It's the same way with social media comments.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing. It's caring about someone you've never met, but yet words
they hurt. They go somewhere. I mean, I think it was a great example of Oprah talking about. I mean, she has everything, and she can still remember
yeah.
that time that somebody called her lumpy and you know dumpy.
Yeah,
and
right,
you
right.
go, you go. Those comments go somewhere, even if you're able yeah. to go. I don't care.
Yeah,
they seep in.
Yeah, they do. And so you know, you can do one little protection that turning off your comments.
Yeah, not make yourself so vulnerable for comments.
But she just said it was coming from every direction. You know, her family was getting it on Facebook. People were finding out. I mean, people were searching. So that was a genuine moment. They showed Joey's greatest clips. He and Kelsey had to go shopping one time. Do you remember when she had like some kind of a shopping date?
Yeah.
I don't know where they were, on an international, and he ate the whole plate of macaroons and they had that and he just looked at the camera. I'll do many things for the woman in my life, but I am not a shopping guy. And you know, that's totally, but so he ate all of them. They also had him in a robe trying to, well, we'll just play this thing where he's trying to get him to talk about exotic travel destinations.
I want to go to Minneapolis. Never thought I'd say that in my life, but I want to go to Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis? Minneapolis? Is it Minneapolis? No. When you slow it down, it's bad. It's Minneapolis.
There we go.
I'm going to be a walking meme this season.
Yeah, and he was like, Julia, he was making up words. He said comfortability one time on there, and I'm like, he's doing a Julia. He's blending two words, and he's made a good new word.
Yeah.
He kind of was doing that, but anyway, it was a satisfying episode, and next week is the finale, and my gosh, the little teaser they showed of next week, I mean, the Bachelor producers are truly working the devil's overtime.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready for this. I think it'll be a fun one. I'm very excited.
Do you find the Bachelor franchise to be better than the Bachelorette franchise? Or
No. It all depends on who your Bachelor is.
Got it. That makes
sense. So, like, the big thing is the big Twitter thing that came out of last night, besides how much Joey has proven to be a favorite Bachelor, and we haven't had one. We've had... Charity was a really good Bachelorette, and she was like the last good Bachelorette. And, you know, Michelle Young was pretty, but, you know, there was a staleness to the show that isn't there anymore. That I'm going to just say that Gary and all the Golden Ladies
brought back
to life. So
1,000%. And
I'm Gary. I'm 72, and I'm your first ever Golden Bachelor.
I love hearing that. It just reminds me of how excited I was to talk.
Oh, you guys were great with those. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think if anything, they should definitely take tips on from the Golden Bachelor and walk away knowing that you don't have to overproduce.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be 2 hours long.
And, you know, Joey came from Charity season. So the tried and true way of taking someone from someone else's season is not a bad casting thing, but really do pay attention to like who's the most real down to earth, because Joey was just, we haven't had a good Bachelor, and that's why Gary, like a young guy in quite a while.
Yeah, agreed. And we like liking people. We really do. And I think that's something to be said about when they're making content. It's like, we like likability, and I don't mean like we don't need a villain. Like, we really don't.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. You know, supposedly the Golden Bachelorette is going to start filming in June. So, I'm thinking that ABC, are they going to announce the Golden Bachelorette, like, right after the next week, the finale? But that's already been taped. Will there be... There's the live thing afterwards, so they could bring out whoever is the Golden Bachelor on the 1 hour live special that follows the final rose.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I think we might know who it is next Monday night.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. All right. Listen, when we come back, it's, thank you. Once again, I've been called to explain and uncomplain. Hey, everybody, it's Lori here for Jan Hassan Dinner Theaters. And you've heard us just talking about how much we loved and love Beautiful, the Carole King musical, which is on the main stage at the Chan. But like, just to know what you're going to hear in this story is that, you know, Carole King starts writing hit songs at age 16. She then marries Jerry Goffin, who wrote the lyrics, and together, and by 1961, she and Gary's first song, they've written a song that becomes a huge hit for the Shirelles, then the Drifters, then the Righteous Brothers, Neil Sedaka, Little Eva, Locomotion. And then we also find in this story, because it covers about 12 years of Carole King's life, you know, she finds her own voice. And of course, we all remember Tapestry, but it's just, it's her life. And we know the songs and it's just amazing. And if you're thinking about planning it, get your tickets soon. Chan Hassan Dinner Theaters. To the Daily Royal Crisis Report. Today it is Kate with straight hair, noticeably skinnier cheekbones, and Rose of Chumley's denial.
God, what have we become here?
I mean, over the last 3 months, the firm has courted more controversy of their own making than ever happened in all of Queen Elizabeth's reign, including her very big bungle.
Yeah.
Over Princess Diana.
Yep.
Which we saw in a movie. We saw it in The Crown.
Yeah.
We saw it, some of us, in real life, but she rebounded from that in the last 3 months. More than happened in the longest running monarchy of this earth, you guys.
That's like blowing my mind. Like there is some, wow. Something is like.
Okay. Well, let me set the stage.
Please.
Of this clownery, because the firm, which is how those of us in the royal know refer to the monarchy, mm-hmm. Okay, the firm, there's not a lot of things that you can say that have been around for thousands of years. Yes, there are religions, but the firm, the British monarchy, has been around for a long, long time. We've seen the movies. We've read the historical books. The Tudor. I mean, you know, it has a long thing. And Queen Elizabeth had this long reign. And so if you think about that in how they've bungled a queen, the Duchess Kate, who will be queen one day, having an abdominal surgery and being out. And they said she would be out for like 4 months. Mm-hmm. How they have bungled that so badly that there is, I mean, they had to issue a response because Russian hackers got into something that looked like Buckingham Palace letterhead that said Prince Charles had died on St. Patrick's Day. And it was being then getting picked up. And I mean, it's just, there's...
baffling.
It's the clown show is just unbelievable. And this is not, like I said, this is not a place that doesn't have a long history. This is just tomfoolery and a clown show. But it really got bad 3 weeks ago on February 27th. I was just coming back from Hawaii and don't think I wasn't reading all the stuff while I was waiting for my plane.
Okay? That's right. I remember this conversation.
Okay. And what happened 3 weeks ago today on February 27th is that Prince William bailed on doing a reading at his godfather, King Constantine of Greece, mm-hmm. his memorial service, 4 hours before the service, mm-hmm. he was on the printed card and everything.
Yeah.
For quote unquote personal reasons.
Okay.
This is where this all started because that is so BS. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Queen Elizabeth ever saying she wouldn't show up at something for personal reasons?
Yeah, never.
So that raised the first eyebrow because it was just like, wait a second. Your dad's got cancer. Your wife's got had this surgery. So you've got other personal reasons by those two things. And by even not going to that was so disrespectful in the world of, you know, that they live in, mm-hmm. which is an aristocratic royal, you know, it raised many, many eyebrows within all the fancy stuffing people.
It was definitely like a red flag moment where we go, we all turn our heads a little.
Well, wait a second, because if personal reasons, and then, you know, and there hadn't been any speculation about Kate up until he did that. Because why didn't he just say, he could have said something else, but he said that. So that's an arrogant thing for him to have thought.
Yeah. Yes.
He needs to be employing what would Granny do? And what would she say? And so exactly 1 week after that, because then the speculation started, Carol Middleton was spotted in a grainy photo that only TMZ bought. And Kate was sitting next to her, but it looked like a puffy Kate. And that day, Katie Holmes was trending and people were wondering, how weird is that? You know, and then people were like, shut up, let her have privacy.
Yeah.
Maybe she's on steroids. Okay, that's a week after William. Then a week after that, we get the Franken photo of the mucked up four different photos. It gets a kill notification from Reuters, CNN, the Associated Press. Stephen Colbert brings up five-year-old gossip tea from 5 years ago about Rose of Hanbury, who had to issue a denial through a lawyer through the Business Insider.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just, this is all in 3 weeks.
It's sloppy.
And then on Saturday, The Sun reports that Kate and William have been spotted at the Windsor Royal Shops, which it's basically a store that they get the money off of because he's the douche or whatever you call it. Anyway, it's their farm that they have that's Windsor buying there. And she's, okay, so there's a story that they're there. Well, this is a tourist place.
And
you're like, well, why? The Sun's Royal Rota reporter, you know, this is a true thing, but there's not one photo.
Yeah. We're just getting like, just trust us. Just trust us. And we're like, no, you gave us that photo only a few days ago.
Right. And then 24 hours later, TMZ and The Sun publish a video of William and a woman who now looks nothing like the Kate we saw 2 weeks ago, puffy in the car, or the blown out Vogue beauty that was in the Franken shop. Now this lady looks like Rose of Hanbury.
Yeah.
She looks taller, thinner, and she is walking very fast, keeping up with his long legs because he's 6-something, carrying what looks to be a very big bag. So now people are really losing their mind.
People are,
this is the third Kate-looking person that we've seen and it all started with William giving and not getting the advice that you don't get to say, as future King of England, Prince of William, your wife is recovering from this, your dad's having, you don't get to be a wussy and say 4 hours before a big, huge church service at the cathedral with all the family that's flown in all over that you're not going to get up and do a reading for. That's the cause of everything, you guys.
Wow. We needed you for that.
You originally brought this up, like you said, back in February when you were coming home from Hawaii. And I was like, what is this? And now
you don't get to have a none of your business answer, William. You do. Anyway, now the palace, I'm sure, is working on. So anyway, it's even more, it's caused more controversy. There's going to be more explainers.
What's coming next from them? Kayla.